I hope that you had a good Thanksgiving. I hope that you had opportunity to be with your family, if nothing else, through Zoom or another software that would allow you to see your family face to face. Again, this is obviously a very difficult time, but and the adjustments we have to make, we just have to get used to for our time being anyway. In Philippians 4, verses 11 through 12, the Apostle Paul writes these words. He said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." This is what we might call a kind of collect-all passage, because it meets so many different needs that we encounter. It's a passage that is popular during the Thanksgiving season, but more importantly, this passage is important because it speaks to the reality of contentment in this life. Some of us may have gotten a little jaded about finding contentment in the midst of our lives on this earth. Jaded to the point that we really don't think contentment exists. Or that if it exists in degrees, you know, I'm at the bottom level. But the first thing we need to understand in this passage is that Paul speaks to the fact that there can be contentment in your life. Now, contentment here is defined as, in essence, strength. Contentment means to be strong. It means to abide in sufficient strength for the day. It's to have enough of something that it changes you, it transforms you. Strength that is sufficient for the day to transform you. That is the definition of contentment, and Paul points to the fact that contentment is a potential reality in our lives. But even more importantly is another word in that passage. Perhaps even of higher value than the term contentment, and that is the word learned we find in this passage. Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state thereby to be content." Now, to help us then learn or understand how to find contentment, strength, sufficient strength to be transformed, how we find contentment in this life, Paul goes on to share these terms. He lists three groups of contrasting circumstances. Three groups of words where one is the antithesis of the other. The words are these: abased and abound, full and hungry, abounding and suffering need. This antithesis of these three groups of words. Abased means to be brought low or to be humbled. Paul says, I know how to be humbled before God. But he says, I also know how to abound. Abased, abound. Abound means to be full, to have an abundance. I know what it is to lack. I know what it is to have more than enough. He says, I know what it is to be full. And I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to abound, to have an abundance, to have surplus. And I know what it is to suffer need. So after hearing Paul's thoughts and analyzing what he has said, I think we can draw these principles in how to discover this contentment, this strength of God that for the moment that gives us the ability to transform. These three principles. First of all, that godly contentment is not found in circumstances. Secondly, that godly contentment is not formed by my comfort. And thirdly, that godly contentment is not fashioned by my credentials. Let's walk through this quickly this morning. First of all, a point, important point that Paul makes in this statement is that godly contentment will not be found in my circumstances, in the situations that I encounter, in the circumstances I find myself in my life right now, in the things that occur and the things that happen, he says, are not what produces this godly contentment. Now, I'm just like you. When good things happen to me, I sit in gladness, contentment even. When bad things, negative things happen to me, my first instinct is to be sad or mad or think, God, where are you? But Paul says, even when we're here in good circumstances, and especially when we're here, we are not going to find real God-given strength, joy, and peace of heart to walk through this life in any of these things. These things are not what produce contentment of heart. Thereby, these things are not that important. They shouldn't be. They are not that important to us because search in them all of our lives and we will never find real joy of heart. Secondly, Paul says in this statement that we read that not only is real contentment not found in our circumstances, but neither is real contentment of heart found in our comfort. It might even expound that to our comfort zone. God giving us contentment of heart will not be found in our comfort zone. Now, the older I get, the more I like comfort. I mean, that's just the way it is. I could sit in my chair, doze off and on, watching television, and nobody bother me, and I think I'm as contented as it can be. But when I get out of my comfort zone, when I get into the arena of being uncomfortable, I get upset. I feel like that there's been an invasion into my territory. And I don't like getting outside before I feel comfortable. You remember the prophet Jonah? Oh, Jonah. God called him to be his prophet, or as his prophet, to go to the town, the country of Nineveh, and to cry out against their wickedness. Jonah instead went out the back door and he headed out to sea. He went to the port town of Joppa and hopped a ship headed for the city of Tarshish. But the story goes that God caused a great wind to start rocking that ship, scared the crew to death. They began, in their fear, calling out to their gods for help. Jonah was in his cabin asleep. As each man was crying out to his God for help and protection in this storm, the captain woke Jonah up, told him what was happening, and said, "You cry out to your God." Jonah admitted that it was his God who was causing this storm. They drew lots, and the lot fell to Jonah, and Jonah said, "It's true. I'm running from my God." And he said, "Just throw me overboard and the wind will stop." And they, I'm sure, gladly picked him up and chunked him as far as they could out into the darkness of the sea. And the Bible says the winds stopped. Well, the story goes that God caused a great fish to come and swallow up Jonah. And there in the belly of that fish, Jonah cried out to God in repentance, humility, and forgiveness. And so the fish spit Jonah out, and Jonah got to land, and he made his way to the city of Nineveh. Now, understand, Jonah hated the Ninevites. But he hated being in the smelly belly of a fish even worse. And so he made his way to Nineveh, and the Bible says he began to cry out to repent, and all of the people of Nineveh repented. Jonah said, "If you don't repent, God is going to cause a disaster to fall upon you." And they listened. They repented, everyone from the king down to the lowliest servant. They all repented before God. Well, this is where the story gets interesting, because the prophet of God, Jonah, got mad at God for giving forgiveness to these, quote, pagans. It ticked him off. He was of the people of God, not them. And so Jonah, in a huff, walked outside of the city and sat down. And the Bible says that God caused this great plant to flower over Jonah to protect him from the sun. And Jonah really got into that plant. That plant caused Jonah comfort from the sun. And so in his half-ticked-off mindset, that plant was a stalk of comfort for him. But then God caused an insect to eat away at the plant, causing the plant to die. And now Jonah had nothing over his head, and it made him so mad that he said, God, just kill me. If I'm going to have to sit here in the middle of the sun, if you've taken that plant away and I've got to sit in the sun, then just kill me. I like old Jonah because he's a very real individual, and we get to know him at quite depth in his book. You see, Jonah was one of the few prophets from the northern kingdom of Israel, and he lived in a time of great prosperity in Israel. In other words, Jonah had it well. Jonah's job was gravy. I mean, he had a cupcake for a job. He got paid well. He had great respect among the people. He kind of did what he wanted as a prophet of God. And he hated going to Nineveh. He had it cush. I mean, he was well versed in his comfort zone. God moved him out, and he got to the point where he asked God to kill him because he was sitting in the sun. Now, that may sound ridiculous, but if you'll look deep enough, you'll find a little Jonah in yourself. But the point is, Paul said, I can be abased. I can be hungry. I can be in need and still walk in contentment of heart. Because contentment is not found in my circumstances. It's not found in my comfort. And contentment, we find, is certainly not found in who we are as our credentials. And please listen. You may not have the most impressive resume of anybody in here. You may not have the kind of job that you dreamed of when you were young. You may not have made the kind of money you have always hoped. Your name may never be known to the masses. But our credentials are not the issue in contentment. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things of the world that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and he used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. You see, folks, it's not how smart you are. It's not how attractive that you are. It's not how much you have accomplished in your life. It's not what your family name is. Because God loves to use the common to confound the clever of our culture. God loves to use the common. Common. Just like me. To confound the clever of our culture. You know, before Pam and I decided to get married, or actually after we decided to get married and before we had the wedding, we had wedding showers. And we would go, and I don't even know if people still do this, register at certain stores and so that people could come in and see what you wanted. And they would, you know, put buy something or put money down on something, that kind of thing. And so I went with Pam to these stores to decide what we wanted. And it was in that time period that I learned that everybody should have two sets of dishes. I never knew that. I mean, my two sets of dishes were common plates and paper plates, you know, but that's what not what she was talking about. She was talking about something called china and regular plates. So I said, sure, you know, whatever. Whatever you want's good with me. So we got these sets of china and our regular plates. Now, I'm taking a big risk here that I'm going to hear about this when I get home, but I can only remember seeing that china one time in our married lives, and that's after we bought it, okay? One time, and in fact, put a gun to my head, and I've got no idea where it is, okay? But I was noticing the other day in our regular plates, because I do the dishes, and I was looking at our regular plates, and there were these little cracks, little lines, little tiny micro lines running through them. It's not that they're broken or anything or need to be repaired, but they've just been used a lot. It seems that the pretty perfect china is the kind of stuff that sits in cabinets and is there to say, everybody look at me. Everybody see me. And the regular plates get worn down because they're the ones being used. So God often chooses the common to be used by God to confound the plates that never come out of the cabinet. Paul takes these thoughts and he moves from the Philippians 4:11 through 12 to Philippians 13. And so he says this: it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Quit struggling to stay inside your comfort zone all the time. And quit worrying about who you think you are, how you think you failed, or how you think others see you. And realize that the secret to contentment is in verse 13. When Paul concluded with these words, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. That is the key to contentment. We have to look beyond our circumstances. We have to be willing to step beyond our comfort and get over our credentials, either if they're high or if they're low, pride or unhealthy humility, and find our strength in Him. And then I can do all things.
Thank you for joining us for this Highland Sermon from Dr. Johnny Funderburg. If you live in the Clovis, New Mexico area, we'd love to have you join us one Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located at 2201 North Main Street in Clovis. For more information about our church, visit highlandclovis.com. And to let us know a little bit more about you, choose the Connect tab and click on our online visitor card. You can also submit your prayer requests under the Connect tab. Lastly, follow us on Facebook at hbc.clovis to keep up to date with our announcements, events, and online services.